Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here safely today. Help us to heed your word and to think about how it makes certain requirements of us in this new year, 2026. Thank you for our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Old tech. Actually, old tech. I think I have what I need here on the screen. The battery's charged, and if I lose the light, I'll just stop. Last time I spoke here, early November, I described one deviation from normal behavior in my brain, spasmodic dystonia. The evidence, a voice like Robert Kennedy Jr.'s. I said at that point I'd move on to the other deviant behavior in my brain, the evidence, song lyrics written on a regular basis, even after my stroke. I will consider that, Lord willing, down the road. But today I'd like to draw our attention to what you may already have noticed, three great concepts that occur over and over in Scripture. In messages recently given from here, and in some of the new songs our choir has shared. The choir, as you know, sings beautifully together. We just got to work on the choreography of leaving the platform, ladies first. What a novel concept. The three great concepts in Scripture are faith, hope, love. In a nutshell, they make good New Year resolutions. So if you have a piece of paper and you want to jot down any ideas or things the Lord seems to be laying on your heart, feel free, entirely for yourself. But put a date on the paper, January 11, 2026. Sorry to be annoying, but when a certain football game ends today, the year will be 3% over already. Time does not slow. In 2026, how can I look to the Lord for guidance in exercising faith, which largely applies to present decisions? How can I look to the Lord for dependence on the hope he gives us, which is largely applicable to the future? How can I look to the Lord in 2026 to contribute to the interdependence in love that there is in this fellowship and has been, thankfully, for quite a time? Building on the work the Lord has done among us in the past. For myself, the last few messages I was led to give focused on 1 Corinthians 13. And perhaps correlatively, during 2025, the choir shared 10 songs based on this chapter. Lord willing, they're not done with it yet. The end of what we call chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians shows Paul telling us, yet I show you a more excellent way. And the phrase he uses comes down to us in English as something like hyperbolic. Sounds like an exaggeration. It's literally throwing forward. In other words, as he moves into what we call chapter 13, he's showing us what far and away is even better as a gift than what he's already been mentioning. And of course, we know he's going to expound on love. He finishes what we call chapter 13 by saying, now abideth, or better, now there persist, in the most positive sense, faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Because one day faith will yield to sight. Hope, by definition, is finished when that which is anticipated comes to pass. But love persists endlessly. So cast your mind back. We had a great Christmas program on December 14th, and if you were to subtract from all those readings anything to do with faith, hope, or love, the script would have been considerably shorter. The week after, December 21st, Jordan took us to Proverbs chapter 6. And we looked at verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. I know how Jordan's mind works. In part, I was waiting for him to say six, seven. This is where it comes from. I don't think it does, but it's an old Hebrew way of emphasizing, wait for number seven. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, because the heart at that time was regarded as the seat of the intellect. They didn't know what the brain had a function for. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, he's that sows discord among brethren. I hope you notice that it's very concrete poetry. The poet uses a body part to focus in on each of those kinds of bad behavior. So if you were only six or seven, you could probably, without embarrassment, point to the body part on yourself. Feel free to do it if you want to. The Lord hates an eye that has a proud look, a tongue that tells lies, hands that shed blood, a heart that makes wicked plans, feet that run quickly to execute those wicked plans, a mouth that gives false witness, And as the climactic number 7, a whole person who deliberately stirs up people against each other, particularly God's people, presumably through one or more of the 6 bad behaviors already listed. I think I told you a while ago about a colleague who tasked himself with defining love, and he got stuck until he described to himself hate, and then he flipped those characteristics. Given God's hatred of these behaviors, then he loves the opposite behaviors. So if a person, you or I, resolve in 2026 to love God, what characterizes their behavior? Well, flipping this list, there will be a demeanor that is modest. Habitually telling the truth, keeping the hands clean in all senses, purposing only good for others, doing what is useful rather than harmful, speaking without demeaning, slandering, or misrepresenting others, and particularly promoting the well-being and harmony of fellow believers. And that's a very challenging agenda as the new year begins. But if we claim to love the Lord, it should characterize how we behave. And all 7 of those behaviors, as no doubt you're thinking, do appear in the list of love's characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13. December 28th, Chuck took us to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I really liked, and I wrote down how Chuck put it. True biblical faith is obedience to God's word, regardless of the circumstances, and heedless of the consequences. I told him afterwards there might be a song coming on sometime. As Paul goes on in this chapter to highlight faith consequent upon the evidence of exemplars, I loved Chuck's comparison of the heroes of faith to Marvel superheroes. Verse 34, they quench the violence of fire. Check. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Very cinematic in our terms. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we don't have the ability to say, no idea how a person of faith behaves. Let us run with patience the race set before us. In other words, Paul makes it clear it's not just a nice idea, it's an agenda for action. antecedents bequeath patience. Parents have perhaps 18 years to do that with their kids. So we ended our gatherings here in 2025 with a focus on how we show love to the brethren, how to put faith into action. We began 2026 last week as Joe Smith centered his message on our hope. He took us to 2 Peter chapter 3. Scoffers will say, where is his promised coming? Nothing changes. Peter says, everything we're aware of are kept in store, reserved against the day of judgment. Beloved, one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. I hoped you picked that up in the song a few minutes ago. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Then Peter goes on to talk about the dissolution of everything. The day of God, fire dissolving, and then new heavens, new earth. Hope for believers is most positive. And even, just suppose we do nothing, that by any stretch of the imagination shares or refocuses us on our hope, every 24 hours we move closer to its fulfillment. At midweek Bible study on January the 7th, Joe G. took us through Acts 6, and we read briefly about Stephen, characterized as a man full of faith, in fact, twice characterized that way. He'll be the focus of Acts chapter 7. Lord willing, Clay will take us there on Wednesday, so I'll say no more. This morning, our special version of Psalm 23 maintains a bittersweet tradition. 5 years after our elder Pat Guerin went to glory, the choir sang a new version of Psalm 23 to the melody used at his son's wedding, The Minstrel Boy. 5 years after Tony Barone, another elder, went to glory, the choir sang a new version of Psalm 23, set to one of his favorite hymns, Grace Greater Than All My Sin. 5 years after Brian went to glory, the choir has just sung a new version of Psalm 23 to one of his favorite hymns. If you read the fine print at the bottom, the name of the melody is Terra Beata. It was a song of a different ilk before it was turned into a hymn. It described the earth blessed with the curse removed. In other words, the future state of the planet in the thousand-year kingdom. And I messed up. I forgot there was a fourth verse because I was sitting there telling myself, don't go into the Hobbit music, which Brian would have loved and maybe preferred me to do, but I was so focused on avoiding that twist that I forgot what was in front of me. Sorry about that, but thank you for your patience. So it's bittersweet. At least for a while, an elder passes to glory or Florida, and there's a new version of Psalm 23. I don't want to do this too many more times. I will stop, or be stopped, at one point. On Wednesday, the day that Clyde had his surgery, Joanne texted, "My devotions today touched on walking in the dark valley, Psalm 23. I was reminded that the dark days cause us to enter into a very special relationship with our Lord." And then she cited Job 42:5. "My ears had heard you, but now my eyes have seen you." In other words, the need produces even closer relationship with the Lord. We are to be thankful in all things, right? Please ask our Lord to direct our paths through this dark valley. It was great to find out this morning that Clyde can speak in sentences again. We take language for granted. It is delightful to hear Titus mumbling his way towards being able to verbalize. I have a strong sense once he turns that corner, he won't stop but go really fast. Then the day will come when we occasionally think, okay, enough words, enough words. Language is a miracle that still hasn't been explained biologically or socially or categorically. My brain deviant behavior can do things with language, but that's not for today. So I trust by now you're realizing that if you subtract the concepts of love, faith, and hope from Psalm 23, the great pearl of Psalms, as Spurgeon called it, there's precious little left in the psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The subheading could be love. God's love makes provisions for us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God gives us faith when our vision gets dim. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over." God's love prepares a place, a feast for us. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell forever in the house of the Lord." Hope for what God has in store for his people propels our vision of what's to come. The psalm is built on love, faith, hope. As Paul says very poetically in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:9, "I has not seen," we're back to body parts, ear has not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, or as we would say, our brains can't really wrap themselves around the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So I guess there should be another version of Psalm 23 focusing on faith, hope, and love. I have begun such, but it's not finished yet. So where else do we find this great trio of faith, hope, and love? Let's, for starters, look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love provided for our need, that whosoever believeth in him, faith from the Lord responds in the Lord, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hope transforms our prospects in several senses. Take away love, faith, hope, you don't have John 3:16. Each spring, for the last few years, the choir has shared a new song based on John 3:16. Lord willing, we'll resume that practice in 2027. Let's check out the Lord's pattern for prayer in Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can't say this prayer or think this prayer or approximate this pattern for prayer except in the love the Lord gives us toward our Heavenly Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Back to Joe's message last Sunday. Hope for God's coming kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are to exercise every day faith in God's provision for his people. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God gives us faith in the direction he can lead us and wants to take us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The prayer pattern finishes with hope again for the Lord's coming kingdom. Take away love, hope, and faith, and you have a very impoverished pattern for prayer. Each late spring for the last few years, the choir has shared a new song based on this prayer, often on Father's Day. Lord willing, we'll do that again next year. Do you see a pattern here? Let's check out in Colossians chapter 1 the description Paul gives for his reason for thankfulness. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, or the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. There it is again. Each summer for the last few years, the choir has shared a new song which skipped over these verses and went to the next paragraph in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. giving thanks to the Father who has made us fitted to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, carried us over into the kingdom of his dear Son. God's love is our hope. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then, echoing Hebrews 11, by him were all things created in heaven, in earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. In Jesus rests our faith. Take away from Colossians 1, faith, hope, love. And the text is very impoverished. So as we start 2026, I ask myself, and I hope you ask yourself, how am I to exercise faith? This year, I was telling Sean over coffee that Lynn and I are looking forward to 5 high school graduation parties this summer. It's going to be wonderful. Oh, you won't get to all of them. We're talking about grandkids in Florida. But at age 18, time to step out in faith, to exercise fuller roles in the fellowship. Ask the Lord, what would you have me do? A lot of young folk we know are going to be doing that in a very solid way in 2026. But as adults, we're not let off the hook. Maybe there are new frontiers of service, new ventures to try or revisit, new personal patterns of devotion to seek with the Lord's help to trace. We will be closer every 24 hours to the full realization of our blessed hope. It did not appear in 2025, so logically the odds are greater for 2026. And in terms of being interdependent in our fellowship and bringing others in, what new things perhaps does the Lord have for us in 2026? Even if new things sometimes means old things done afresh by people who are always older than they were yesterday, and generally could be better equipped to face the challenges. That's all I have, but of course, that's saying very little and very much. It's up to each of us before the Lord. If we do make resolutions to decide, here's, Lord, what I'd like to do, believe, practice, hope for in your strength. They keep saying most people are finished with their resolutions by January 9th. Well, it's now the 11th. Still time to make those good resolutions. Lord, thank you for our time together. We ask that you would increase our love for one another, strengthen the faith you've already given us, and to step out in directions you want us to go, maybe new ones, maybe old ones revisited. And help us always not to lose sight in the news headlines of the hope that transcends all the immediate crises or panaceas that the media put forth. We thank you that you will have the final say on what happens on this planet and who has power and who wins the battles. We thank you for all your blessings to us already in the first 10 days of this new year. And we look to you for continued blessing and guidance as the year rolls on. Thank you for our time now. In Jesus' name, amen.